Hello and welcome to the Warp Podcast. My name is David Tiltman and today we are talking about the 2024 Warp Rankings, what they are and what we've discovered by doing them. And joining me today is Amy Rogers, Head of Content for Warp Creative, who's going to be giving us the lowdown on this year's rankings. Now, this is a 3 in 15 podcast, so we're going to be looking at three big things in 15-ish minutes. Amy, before we get started on what those three big things are, just give us a little bit of background to the rankings for those who aren't familiar.
Yeah, sure. Hi, David. So hopefully most people are familiar, but if you're not, our rankings are kind of intended to do three things: to celebrate, to inspire, and to provide an industry benchmark. So we have three rankings, one for creativity, one for media, and one for effectiveness. And these are based on the winners list or lists of annual shows that award in campaigns in each of those three areas. And we decide the shows that we track in consultation with the industry. So we have an advisory board and a panel that we speak to each year. And the shows included in each of the three rankings are generally considered to be the most prestigious and rigorous shows to win. And what we do with all of those results is we collate them together into three big databases. We crunch the numbers. And if you want more on what that means, you can head to the site. There's an extensive methodology section. I won't bore you on the podcast. From all that data, we produce a list of the most awarded campaigns of the year in each of the three areas of creativity, media, and effectiveness. And then based on those campaigns, we can rank brands and advertisers and agencies associated with the campaigns and rank them too.
Great. And just to be very clear, you said this, but this is based on the winners lists from different types of shows. So creativity shows, media shows, effectiveness shows. So we're only looking at campaigns, brands, agencies, et cetera, through the lens of them entering those shows and winning awards in those shows. That's the basis of this, right?
Yeah, that's exactly it. So these are kind of the best of the best. They've won at the best shows.
And so really what it is it's a way of seeing what the industry is holding up as being good or great in these particular areas at any one time. And I guess what's interesting about it is you can, because we've been doing this for several years, you can see how things change over time and how the industry is celebrating different things as the years go by.
Yeah, we can see those trends in the campaigns and we can see the performance of the companies that are ranked highly in each of the three disciplines over time. And that's kind of where the benchmarking element of it comes in. So I said at the start that we're inspiring, we're celebrating, but we're also benchmarking. So, you know, a yearly ranking on its own can do the celebrating and the inspiring bit, but our data over time allows brands and agencies to kind of benchmark their performance against internal objectives, but also against their competitors. And that's important for creative effectiveness, you know. So, for example, sometimes we see that a brand is consistently creative, but maybe their effectiveness is lagging or even declining. And so through all of our data, we can look at why this is and potentially help them improve. And the opposite too, sometimes effectiveness is high, but creativity is lower. And that highlights an opportunity to have creativity play more of a role in the impact or the results of a brand's marketing efforts.
That's really interesting, isn't it? Because it's the way you can use these sort of tables together and these rankings together. Because as you say, and I think we'll go on to talk about this a bit more, we've seen brands which appear at the top of the effectiveness charts, but aren't necessarily knocking the ball out of the park in terms of creativity. So there's an opportunity there for them to be even more effective by turning up the noise on their creativity, if you like.
Yeah, exactly that.
All right. Well, let's get into our sort of three big takeaways from this year's ranking. So what have you got first? What's your first one?
Okay, well, let's start with talking about some of the winners. So like I said, one of the three purposes of the rankings that I mentioned earlier was about celebrating. So let's celebrate. There are a lot of winners across the rankings, I just say. We've got three, each of which has a winning campaign, a winning brand, advertiser, agency, a winning network, a winning holdco, and a winning country. So what's that, 7 or 8 winners times three rankings? So, you know, there's a lot to celebrate there. I won't list them all out because we'll probably lose some listeners. But I'll call out a few of the brand stories as our first highlight. So the first kind of, I guess, theme is fast food, and in particular Burger King and McDonald's. I know we talk about these two a lot.
Yeah, these are regular appearers at the top ends of the rankings, aren't they? So what's the new story here?
I guess the story is in what we can see over time through our rankings data. So what I was just talking about in terms of the number of years, so we've got this data going back to 2018, so we can see this performance over time and we can see what's shifting and changing. But before I do that, just let me take a quick moment to celebrate these two brands. So Burger King has topped our creative ranking for brands for the past 6 years. So since 2019, it's been the most creatively awarded brand in the world every year. So really quite an impressive feat and shows amazing commitment to creativity. And since around 2020, the majority of that work has been done with its agency David, which is part of the Ogilvy Network. So shout out to them too.
But McDonald's has seen similar consistency in the effectiveness rankings, haven't they?
Yeah, absolutely. So again, so they've been top since 2020 for effectiveness.
And they've got a roster of agencies, but two of the big winners in terms of the agencies working for them are Leo Burnett and Wieland Kennedy, yeah?
Yeah, exactly. Though I would say in the effectiveness database, we look at the range of agencies involved with the effectiveness of a piece of work. So you've got the media agencies and the kind of specialist agencies like PR also credited in there for the work. So we're celebrating the whole kind of ecosystem, if you like, rather than just the creative agencies. But yeah, Leo Burnett and Wieland Kennedy have definitely led the charge for their creative work over the past few years.
So what's changing here then? Why have you highlighted it?
So we've got those two fast food brands heading up the rankings for creativity and effectiveness for a number of years now. What's interesting here is what you can see when you look at the performance over time. So, and I'll just say what rankings or what creative subscribers can visualize this quite nicely with some charts if you go to the rankings interactive dashboard on the site. But if we take Burger King first, what you can see for Burger King is a really strong, consistent line for creativity, but actually a declining trend for performance at effectiveness awards. So in 2018, Burger King actually ranked number one for effectiveness. This year, it's down in 18th. Okay, yeah, 18th isn't bad compared to all of the brands in the world, but it's a significant decline if you take into account that it's number one for creativity. And if you look at the chart, apart from a slight revival in 2022, pretty much led by Mouldy Whopper, the trend has been a drop in rank for effectiveness every year.
And we know, of course, that particularly in the US, the Burger King commercial performance hasn't been as strong as McDonald's. What if we flip it the other way around? What's the story with McDonald's?
So if we look at McDonald's, we see a brand that did have a big gap between its creativity and effectiveness, kind of like the gap that we now see between Burger King's creativity and effectiveness. But they had the opposite. So they had a much stronger effectiveness performance than they did creative. But in the last couple of years, the McDonald's team has put a really big emphasis on creative effectiveness. And they really increased the role that creativity plays in their effectiveness. They've had a really strong focus towards that. And that's definitely come to fruition in 2024. So they ranked number one for effectiveness, number three for creativity, and number three for media. And actually, that's the first time that a brand has ever ranked in the top three across all three rankings. So it's a pretty nice stat for McDonald's this year.
Yeah, now we talked about this on another podcast we did recently about a report you put out based on the rankings data, historic data called The Health of Creativity. And it does highlight that sort of closing of the gap between creativity and effectiveness. And I guess the thing we keep coming back to on this is that you can be very effective without being very creative. It just costs you more. So the ability to close that gap starts to mean that your investment is working harder and your effectiveness is able to get even stronger. So yeah, very impressive. And, you know, we know we've had Morgan Flatley from McDonald's talking on the Walk stage in New York recently about the story behind this. And we've seen things like the CFO referencing the marketing within the quarterly earnings call. It's become that bigger part of their growth story. So it's really, really impressive.
Yeah, exactly. And kind of highlights what Burger King have an opportunity to do. And so they have an opportunity to close that gap between creativity and effectiveness and really boost the impact that their brilliant creativity is having. And that's pretty much what we're aiming to do with these rankings as a benchmarking tool. Obviously, we want to inspire people with the best work, and there's so much inspirational work in there. But we also want to give brands and agencies kind of actionable insights into their performance. And we also kind of help them on that journey too through our advisory team.
Okay, so what is the second big thing you want to talk about from this year's rankings?
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about the work that ranked highly and one of the trends we saw coming through that. And just to say, trends from the top campaigns across the rankings could and probably will be a podcast all of their own. You know, we've got 300 campaigns across the three rankings, give or take a few that ranked in more than one. So there's plenty to pull out here. But one I thought I'd mention, as it was quite notable across all three of the rankings, was the use of digital technology in really smart and innovative ways, and quite often used for good. So kind of tech for good, if you like.
Thank you for avoiding the word purpose. I think we can, let's just keep that out of the podcast. But yes, go on, tell me more.
Yeah, I think it's a given that the rankings will contain quite a large amount of that word. You know, cause-based work. Let's use that term instead. So we'll take that as read. But I wanted to highlight a few examples of kind of the tech-driven winners. Now, obviously, AI is a big topic of conversation at the moment. And not all of these campaigns involved AI exactly, but the campaign at the top of the Effective 100 did, and that was Shah Rukh Khan, Your Ad. I know we've talked about this one before because it's been a big winner over the last couple of years. But if you don't know it, it's a Cadbury campaign in India that used AI to create personalized ads for thousands of local businesses. And they use the face of a kind of mega celebrity in India called Shah Rukh Khan. But they deep faked his face to look like he was promoting each individual small business. And then those small businesses sold Cadbury celebrations. So in doing so, the ads supported the Cadbury supply chain.
And that's tech for good, because it's not necessarily cause-based, is it? But it's supporting those sort of local, those small businesses rather than just it being a sort of business-to-consumer campaign.
Yeah, exactly. It's trying to do, I mean, they would call it purpose-driven work, Cadbury's, but yeah, it's doing good for the smaller business, but in turn drives growth for the Cadbury's brand as well.
Great. Other examples from across the rankings?
Yeah, so there was the first digital nation for the government of Tuvalu, which that was a campaign that used digital tech to create kind of a virtual 3D model of the island of Tuvalu. And that campaign aimed to kind of create a digital sovereignty for a country that will actually soon disappear due to rising sea levels. And then Back Up Ukraine, that mapped out and kind of recreated cultural monuments and buildings and sculptures virtually using mobile phone images and footage to preserve them virtually in case they were victims of the Ukraine war. And another really cool one in the Creative 100, this is not tech for good, but it's a really great example of the use of digital technology in the rankings this year. Yeah, this was in the Creative 100. It was McEnroe versus McEnroe for Michelob Ultra, who are a brand that have appeared repeatedly in our creative rankings the last few years. And they used AI and machine learning to create five virtual versions of John McEnroe, who's a tennis player, past versions of him. And then they taught a robotic arm how these versions of John McEnroe played. And then John McEnroe himself played against his past self, against this robotic arm. Yeah, I'd really recommend going and watching the case study video for that one. It's a bit mind-blowing how much went into the campaign from a technology perspective. And I can only imagine what the production budget was.
Who won?
Actually, that's a really good question. I'm not sure who won. I need to actually look that up. But yeah. Really interesting campaign. Loads of others. A few from Dove in the Media 100 using deepfake and AI technologies to support their mission of empowering women. You know, I could go on. There's so much in there.
Yeah, I think we're going to keep on having to keep unpack the application of AI in multiple podcasts this year, I think. And so much of the talk is obviously around the potential to take people's jobs in the industry. But I think, you know, when you look at this sort of thing, you can see how it can really enhance the creativity and the ability to do interesting, attention-grabbing things.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, so much in there. I'd recommend going and having a look at all three rankings if you want some examples of how AI is really being used at the moment in campaigns.
All right, what's the third of your big takeaways from the rankings this year?
So I wanted to kind of counter somewhat that last trend by mentioning that although there was lots of innovation and AI and new technology evident in the rankings, it was actually really a strong year for traditional media like radio and out of home and TV too. So the number one campaign in the media ranking was Phone It In for a Kiwi telecoms provider called Skinny. If you haven't seen it, they used out of home ads with a radio script on them that prompted people to phone a number and leave a message of them reading this script that they'd seen on the out-of-home ads. And then they played those recordings as actual radio ads. So a really interesting kind of multi-channel campaign, but using traditional media. And to tie this trend back to the last one, there was out-of-home for good too in across the rankings. So there's a campaign for out-of-home media company, Electromedia, which they utilize their digital bus stop billboards in the most deserted spots of the largest cities in Brazil. And that was aimed to bring kind of more security and peace of mind to women alone at bus stops. So what they did was they displayed on these digital bus stop signs an invitation to a video call with a security professional when that sensor on the billboard detected someone alone. So yeah, again, a really innovative use of an out-of-home space. Technology again, but for good. And the final example I've got there, there's an aid organization called Hinz & Kunst in Germany, and they converted mobile billboards so that the space between the panels became like a safe shelter to protect the homeless. So like I said, that was Germany, that was done in Hamburg, and it raised awareness of homelessness and reminded the city's government of its promise to kind of eliminate homelessness.
You mentioned TV earlier. Are there any good TV examples?
Yeah, some really smart TV ideas. One was the last performance for Partners Life. Incidentally, another really great campaign from New Zealand. So Partners Life is a life insurance provider, and it partnered with a popular TV series. And it kind of scripted its ads into the program. So this TV program, every episode someone dies. And the idea of the ad was that it brought these murdered characters back to life from the morgue each episode with messaging around the importance of life insurance. It's kind of almost branded content. It was very, very integrated within the program. So quite a surprising placement, which really captured attention.
Yeah, we recently had James Herman writing about this campaign in his column F-Bomb, didn't he? That's definitely worth checking that out for a bit more about that campaign. Okay, Amy, so I mean we're nearly out of time, but what's coming up in terms of next steps on the rankings? You mentioned there's going to be more analysis, so what have you got in the pipeline?
Yeah, there'll be deep dives into quite a few of the winning campaigns. We've got interviews coming up with some of the kind of top tens as well. We'll do another podcast that will pull some more of these trends out. So over the next weeks and months, you'll see lots more rankings content come out. So if you're interested in these really high performing campaigns, watch out for those. There's lots coming.
Thank you, Amy. Well, that is all we've got time for today. If you want to know more, all the rankings are, of course, at walk.com. If you're a Walk Creative subscriber, you can go much deeper and start exploring some of that data that Amy talked about before. And we'll be back next time. So if you like what you've heard, please do subscribe to the Walk podcast on your favorite podcasting platform. And if you really like what you heard, do leave us a review. Until next time, thanks for listening.